Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Good evening. If you will, open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. That'll serve as our text this evening as we study about this band of brothers that is described here in this text. Several years ago, probably about 25 or 26 years ago now, Stephen Ambrose wrote the book The Band of Brothers and borrowed heavily from detailed accounts of this Easy Company, which was part of the 101st Airborne Division. And later, a few years later, it was made into the miniseries The Band of Brothers. It's a series that, for some reason, whenever I see it on television, it's just one of those that I can't hardly not stop and watch. But this series follows the Easy Company of the 101st Airborne all the way from jump training all the way through the end of World War II. And I think it's just inspiring to be able to visualize the bravery and the heroism that took place among those who have fought and preserved our freedom. One of the scenes that really stands out to me about bravery and about this band of brothers looking out for one another is the scene of the Battle of Bastogne. This battle took place in the forest just outside the city of Bastogne, Belgium. And in the scene in the movie, as Easy Company is just about to enter into the forest and to defend the line against the Germans, there's a long line of defeated American soldiers, in shock American soldiers, that are exiting the line. And Easy Company they're receiving these horrible stories about what they're about to face. It's the cold of winter. They don't have winter clothing. They're running low on supplies and ammunition and food and medical supplies. And they're told they don't know when more reinforcements or more supplies are coming. And in the end, they're told, and you're also going to be surrounded by Germans. And so in the midst of this, they lean upon one another and they march their way into the forest to defend the line. So that's just an example of the type of bravery that's seen in those men. Later in the story, there's a scene where actually a German general is the one who describes what this band of brothers is. As he's surrendering and he's asked to address his own men, he describes this band of brothers that even the Americans can understand. And he said, "Men, it's been a long war. It's been a tough war." He said, "You fought bravely and proudly for your country. You're a special group. You found in one another a bond that exists only in combat among brothers. You've shared foxholes. You've held each other in dire moments. You've seen death and suffered together." He said, "I'm proud to have served with each and every one of you. You all deserve long and happy lives in peace. Like many of you, I'm thankful to not completely understand that war experience and what it was like. I'm thankful to those who have fought and given us that freedom, given us this privilege to not have to understand an experience like that. But I believe that as Christians, we can understand, we should be able to understand what it's like to be part of a spiritual band of brothers. If you live in this world, if you're a human being, you ought to understand what it's like to feel defeated, to feel devastated, to feel destroyed. We ought to understand what it feels like to grieve and to feel sadness. We ought to understand the pain of rejection. We ought to understand the hurt that we feel when a brother or sister abandons the faith and falls away. We ought to understand what it's like to be a band of brothers that leans upon one another. Let's look at what the book says in Galatians 6, in verses 1 through 10, and see this description of a spiritual band of brothers that we belong to. "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Tonight, I want us to look deeper into what the text says. Rather than having, you know, 1, 2, 3 points, let's just look deeper and dig a little deeper in order to see what the text is saying to us tonight. In Galatians 6, 1 through 10 is talking about bearing and sharing burdens. Let's look first at Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, that ought to tell us right there, it can happen to any one of us. Because Paul didn't say, if one of you weak ones, or one of you over here, he said, if anyone is caught in a transgression. I don't believe Paul's saying it's probable that we're going to fall. I don't believe he's saying it's that one person's more probable than another to fall away from the faith. But I do believe he's saying it's a real possibility for any one of us to get caught up into sin and to fall away from the faith. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We sin voluntarily. We choose to sin. We sin by acts of commission when we do things that we shouldn't do. We sin by omission when we don't do the things that we should do. We miss the mark. We rebel against God. We violate His law. So Paul's telling us not to lose sight of the fact that it can happen to any one of us. You who are spiritual, restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Spiritual, you who are spiritually mature. It's interesting, Paul's talking here in chapter 6 about being spiritually mature, because at the end of Galatians chapter 5, Paul was describing that faithful Christian living when he described the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He went through all of those attributes, those attitudes of the spiritually mature Christian. And now he's here joining that. And he's telling us that the spiritually mature is the one who cares enough to put those things into action. He's the one who cares enough to get involved and to help those who need it. You know, there's a lot of things, I believe, that scare a lot of us about what Christianity looks like in our American culture. And often I try to describe to people the context in which we live here in Columbia, Tennessee. I don't think there's a better context in the world to live in than in this town. But I often tell folks that what we enjoy here is not real. The other day I got out the book that lists all the churches, and I was just trying my best to count how many churches of Christ there are in Murray County alone. I came up with 57 churches of Christ and a Christian school on top of that. That's unreal. Sometimes I try to tell folks that is unreal. That is not descriptive of Christianity, of what Christianity looks like in most of the world. And yet, living right here in this context where there's so many churches of Christ, so many Christians, sometimes there's things we see that even scare us right here when we see what Christianity looks like around us. One of the things that scares me so much in the midst of so many Christians is how prevalent the idea of, well, I'm just not going to get involved. That's just an attitude that, for some reason, in the last few years, I just keep seeing it over and over. I'm just not going to get involved. I know he's in sin. but I'm just not going to get involved with that. Or I know that's not right, but I really just don't want to get involved with that. It scares me. The spiritually mature brother or sister chooses to get involved and to put the fruit of the Spirit into action. You who are spiritually minded, restore the one who's fallen into a transgression. The word restore is interesting. It's a medical word that refers to joining or setting a broken bone. The same word is used in other scriptures. It can be used to refer to mending holes in a fishing net. Paul uses the same word in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, saying that we should be united. We should all be of the same mind and of the same judgment. So if you take all of those different uses of that word, we get a pretty good description of what the word restore means. We're to be united. We get a good description of what this band of brothers is to be. We're to be united. We're to be connected. We're to be a fishing net without any breaches. We're to be people who are involved in one another's lives. You who are spiritual, restore the one that's fallen into a transgression, and do it in a spirit of gentleness. To understand what Paul's saying with that spirit of gentleness, it's interesting if we will put it in the context, the overall context of the book of Galatians. What's happening with the overall context in this book is the Jew-Gentile question. How are we going to coexist in the church? Now, you got these Jewish Christians who want to bind circumcision on Gentile Christians. These Judaizers saying, well, basically, you've got to go through the law of Moses. You've got to put it above the law of Christ in order to then get to Christ. And that's foolishness. By the time they get to Acts 15 and verse 10, when Peter stands up in that Jerusalem council, he talks about this, and it's foolishness. He says, why in the world would you place a yoke like that around their neck? Why would you put a burden on them like that not even your fathers or yourselves could keep? It's foolishness to make things harder than it has to be, is what Peter was saying to those Jewish Christians. So I think in light of that context, that's why Paul says we should restore one with a spirit of gentleness. It seems like maybe he's referencing the fact that sometimes in the church, some of us have a tendency to make things harder on others than it really has to be. The legalist forgets his own problems, he forgets his own sins, and he's harder on others than he is even on himself. So Paul's saying when a brother slips up, we've got two extremes here that we need to avoid. We need to avoid that extreme of, I just don't really want to get involved. And we need to avoid that extreme of making things harder on people than it really needs to be. And we need to approach this person as a brother. We need to approach this person in the way that we would want somebody to approach me, because this can happen to anyone, with a spirit of gentleness. So you who are spiritual, restore this person in a spirit of gentleness. He says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I love the word study, especially in the first five verses here. The word burden there could be translated boulder. Saying, bear one another's boulders. Sin's a huge boulder. We're talking about something that one person can't bear alone. Sin is a huge boulder that no man has ever been able to bear alone. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, of course, tells us that sin separates man from God. Sin enslaves us. It makes us captives. It brings about a spiritual death that brings about an eternal destruction. Sin is this boulder that no man's ever been able to do anything about by himself. But yet, while we were sinners, while we were too weak to remove that boulder, Christ died for us, Romans 5 and verse 8. Also, just before this, in Galatians 5 and verse 14, Paul said, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The spiritually mature Christian follows the example of Christ, gets involved, doesn't make things more difficult than it has to be, but approaches the weak brother in a spirit of gentleness and helps carry that burden and bring that person back to the church. Notice verses 3 through 5. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. I think Paul's again looking at that extreme example of the person who makes things more difficult on others than it really has to be. I think he's describing a person who, for some reason, when another sins, for some reason, he looks at this as some opportunity to put his own goodness and his own righteousness on display for others. He's the kind of person who would be gossiping. You know what brother or sister so-and-so did? Look at what they did. I didn't do that. You know, I would never do something like that. I think that's the kind of person that Paul's describing here. Paul calls that vainglory. I think in modern terms, we call that being a bully. I think we call that being of low self-esteem when you got to push others down in order to lift yourself up. In Galatians 5 and verse 26, Paul had said, "Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." The word provoke means to challenge or to compete with. So I think Paul's talking about a person who, for some reason, he feels some need to be in competition with his brethren. He feels some need to put the spotlight on everybody else's sins in order to somehow lift himself up. Look at what he did. I didn't fall. I would never do something like that. Paul says, let each one test his own work. That is, rather than pretending that we would never commit a terrible sin like that, the spiritually mature Christian realizes that it's a possibility for every single one of us to fall into sin. Not a single one of us is immune from the possibility of falling. And when we see a brother who has fallen under the boulder of sin, that's when we ought to realize, that could have been me. And if it was me, I would have wanted somebody to approach me in a spirit of gentleness. So I'm going to get involved, and I'm going to approach him with that attitude. Verse 5 is a very interesting phrase to add onto the end of this short section. For each will have to bear his own load. Again, thinking about the word study really brings out the meaning in this text. Some translations would say for each has to bear his own burden. But it's a completely different word in verse 5 than what we see in verse 2. Verse 2, you got burden, boulder. Verse 5, you got load, which could also be translated or have reference to a soldier's pack. It's as if in saying everybody's still got their own responsibilities to bear, their own pack that they have to carry, it's as if he had just said, hey, we ought to be helping one another bear the boulders. It's as if he anticipated maybe somebody would take advantage of Paul telling others to help us. As if maybe, hey, here's an opportunity for me to do nothing and other people will take care of my responsibilities for me. And Paul's saying, not so fast. Each one's still got to bear his own pack. Each one still has responsibilities. When we think about that soldier's pack, I made an interesting call this week. I called one of my old friends, Brian. He's a former Marine. He served in Iraq. He's got a lot of experience. So he loves the church. He loves evangelism. So he knew exactly where I was coming from. And I talked to him about the difference between the boulder and the soldier's pack, the burden and the load. And I said, now tell me everything you can tell me in just a few short minutes about the soldier's pack. How much does it weigh? Whose responsibility is it to carry it? Under what circumstances would a soldier carry another soldier's pack? Some of the things he told me was interesting. He said that the average soldier's or the average Marine's pack weighs about 70 pounds. He said, but that's just the average Marine. Then if you added in all the extra equipment that a specialist would carry, he said that soldier might be responsible for upwards of 100 pounds to carry on his back. But the interesting thing he talked about was he was talking about when an entire platoon was given the responsibility of carrying extra equipment, it didn't start with the people on the bottom to carry all the equipment. He said he was higher up in his platoon. He said it started with the higher rank to take on the extra weight. He said it was the responsibility of those at the top to lead by example and to carry the extra weight. And I thought, what a great illustration that is, because it's the spiritually mature, it's the ones that have risen to the top that ought to be taking on this extra weight of restoring the erring in a spirit of gentleness. But as he talked about the soldier's pack, how each person, each soldier is responsible for carrying his own pack, he talked about they would still help one another, because he said if they set out on a 15-mile training hike, or if they were actually on duty, it never failed that something always happened to make that load feel more like a boulder. Maybe they would set out on a hike, but one person would be sick with GI issues, and maybe that person would fall out under the weight of that load, that it all of a sudden become like a burden or like a boulder because of sickness. He said that would be the point at which a soldier would carry another soldier's pack, and they would help one another. They would be a band of brothers that would help one another to get through such a difficult situation. But I think what a wonderful picture for us of the responsibility to become the spiritually mature, to become the ones that are able to lift that boulder, to help carry that boulder for others, knowing that that could have been me that made a mistake as well. Notice verses 6 through 8. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. We're still talking about sharing boulders, sharing burdens. But Paul hits on another aspect of that sharing here. When he's saying, if any one of you, if any one of us, somewhere along the way, if somebody took the time to teach us the gospel, then we're in debt. And he's saying we ought to then help bear some of the burden, bear some of the load, so that those teachers can be freed up to go on and keep teaching others. That word share, of course, a lot of times we'll hear that in Bible studies or in preaching. The word koinonia, talking about a partnership or a fellowship. Paul's saying that the students ought to form a partnership with the teachers in order to free up the teachers from worldly cares so that they can focus on teaching others about Jesus. First thing that comes to my mind is Acts chapter 6, when there were some widows who were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food, and this problem was brought to the apostles. But should the apostles be distracted from teaching others about Jesus? No, they appointed some other men to take care of that so that they could stay focused on teaching people about Jesus. Another example would be the Macedonians. We know about what great givers they were. They first gave themselves, then they gave sacrificially of their material goods. We know that the way we use our material wealth is a sign of how we value spiritual things. But Philippians 4 and verses 14 through 16, Paul said, yet it was kind of you to share, same word, my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership, again, same word, with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. We ought to share, bear the load so that more people can be taught. But do not be deceived. God is not mocked. What one reaps or what one sows, that's what he's going to reap. He's saying, do not be deceived. Let's not fool ourselves into believing that we're not going to be held accountable for bearing our own soldier's pack. We're still expected to do our own part of the work. We're still expected to get involved in some way and help others carry their boulders. If you're spiritually mature, then you're expected to help bring others back to Jesus in a spirit of gentleness. If you can teach, then teach someone about Jesus. If you're still in the process of learning to teach, then share the load so that others can go on and teach others. Look at verses 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. There's a peril behind this promise of reaping what we sow. And that danger is that we can grow tired and just get so tired of it that we quit. We can get so tired, so worn out, so beaten up if we're bearing the burden all alone, if we're trying to carry too big of a boulder without any help, it becomes so easy to give up on ministry. But Paul's saying, if that occurs, then you've fallen under the weight of that boulder. How often do we have the conversation? I can think of it in the last week of, well, yeah, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, they used to be really involved with this or that. You know, they were really the ones who got it started. But not anymore. I don't really know what happened to them. I don't know if it was something that hurt their feelings or if they just got burnt out, but they just over time faded away until now they're really not involved anymore. How often do we have that conversation? I'm not even talking about the motives. I don't know the motives. But maybe we've let people carry boulders without helping them for far too long. Paul says, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Everyone. We're expected to partner. We're expected to share. We're expected to sow in goodness and kindness and mercy and in sharing all of that fruit of the Spirit with other people. To the wicked and evil people of this world, we're supposed to return good, kindness to their evil. To those good, kind-hearted people that are truly searching for truth, we're to be the light of the world and help them to glorify God. But especially to those who are of the household of faith, especially to those who belong to this band of brothers, we should not grow weary of helping this band of brothers to bear the boulders that we're facing in life. We give preference to one another, just like we give preference to our children, to the folks in our immediate family, over folks outside of that family. We should give preference to this family, this spiritual family that we belong to, over those who are outside of it. Let's think about what I can take from this lesson tonight. Very quickly, what I can take is that from here on, I'm going to choose to carry the soldier's pack. I'm going to choose to carry my load. I'm going to choose to carry my part of the responsibilities that come with being a member of this band of brothers here at Graymere. Maybe we can leave here also and say, not only that, I choose to help carry the boulders. I'm going to choose to get involved, and with the right attitude, the right spirit of gentleness, I'm going to help people bear the boulders that they're facing in their life. But maybe one of the difficulties we face is that maybe we're willing to help, but so often we have no idea what people are facing. We have no idea what the person that we just talked to is going through. Because we come to church, we come together, how are you doing? I'm doing fine. Everything's good when their life is really falling apart. Tonight we can choose also to let this band of brothers to help me. Are you falling under the weight of sin, or are you just falling under the weight of the boulders that you're trying to carry in this life? That's part of why we're here. That's being able to help one another. That's how this band of brothers is formed. We're here tonight to help. If you're falling under the weight of sin or of the weight of burdens of this life, won't you come Let us help you as we stand and as we sing.